Today is the 22nd of April, 2022, and here in the United States, it's about 3 o'clock. In Canada, I think it's probably about 4 o'clock. So Adiola's with us this afternoon, and he's agreed to take the first 10 verses, read the first 10 verses, and then I'll read the last 10, and then we'll comment on these. So I'll turn it over to Adiola. Go ahead, Adiola. Glad to have you with me this afternoon.
No problem. And for the listening audience, I did pray before we started this study. So, in case people wonder. Okay, Psalms chapter 9, I'll read the first 10 verses. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will shew forth all my marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in thy throne just right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. The past put their out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are the perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorials is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He had prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall minister judgment to the people in unrighteousness. The Lord also will be refuge for the oppressed and refuge in the times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put out put their trust in thee, for the Lord has not forsaken them that seek thee.
Starting with verse 11, sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me, thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise. In the gates of the daughter of Zion I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the works of his own hands. Higgaion Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. Well, thanks, Adiola, for reading those first 10 verses. A lot of the cross references for Psalm 9 are actually found in different psalms, you know, beginning with Psalm 5, and I'll read that first verse. Cross references Psalm 5:11. It says, and I'm going to read verse 10 and 11. Maybe 10, 11, 12. Destroy thou them, O God, let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor. Wilt thou compass him with as a shield. And so we see the theme is, on the one hand, you have the wicked evil men and how that God is judging them, and on the other side, he's defending his people. And
See, in this, look at Psalms. See, if you look at Psalms 9, and we'll actually see a real interesting parallel. Is let's start with the last. God will punish those. See, the thing is, when God says vengeance is mine, God will use a bad situation. See, God will use a bad situation to wake his own people up, to see what the situation they're in, how bad it is. God will harden their hearts and get us out of a bad situation, and at the same time, punish those who did in their own time. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. So it's the fact that sometimes what I'm seeing, I'll take an example today. Individuals, I mean, what we just read, and look at the book of the book of Exodus, and other instances throughout history. What I'm seeing now that God is very using the very same government to wake his elect up and to get out of a bad situation. At some point, will punish those. At the same time, show who they really are, and then the stuff that they use to ensnare and ensnare the individuals, his own people, the honest and just, God will punish them directly. Just look at our nation today. I'm just looking here in the United States. Individuals, how come things are wrong? How come things are going on? Well, hold on. Probably it's a good thing. It may not seem like it, but God is really using these events to wake people up. Because we don't know who's elect. We don't have no clue who's elect is at all. To wake them up, to get them out of a bad situation. And then from there, God will protect them. And at the same time, punish those very individuals. At the very same time, because if you really think, just look at her, when I say this, I'm not judging these two individual men. But they live incredibly shallow lives. Incredibly shallow lives. But God put them there? Yeah. Are they serving God's purpose? Yes. At the same time, they're telling us who's a part of God's elect, and we don't know who they are. Look, don't stay in here. Yes, it's bad. I'm working my way out of this. I'm getting you out of this situation. You just have to trust me. I do remember who you are. At the same time, what is he doing? They're setting up, they're literally setting their own traps up without even realizing, thinking they're doing a good thing. Look at your president or prime minister. Think again, fantastic, but yet don't realize how many people don't like him. Or do they do, or does it not see? Look at Pharaoh. Yeah, did Jesus Christ harden their heart to wake people up? Yes. He got the Hebrews out of Egypt? Yeah. Egypt was never the same after that. Despite what they did to regain their glory and everything, no matter how hard they tried, God's judgment was done.
Yeah, your example in Exodus is great. In Exodus 7, it covers that. God says in verse 3 of chapter 7, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them.
Yeah.
So your point is right on track there.
Yeah. So this is what I'm noticing in this verse here. In this particular chapter is that, like, hold on. Yes. Trust and praise in the God himself.
Right.
Despite how bad things get. Will we have our ups and downs? It's God through His Son Jesus Christ has never promised it be an easy life. At all. There is that. He never promised that. Eternally, it would be a lot better. But right now, when we're seeing this, you note that a lot of wherever God's elect are, spiritual Israel, is being separated from us. Literally. So what we're seeing is, I'm seeing this shift. Eerily, to me, virtually the same thing that's going on and happening in Egypt, but basically on every continent. That is the only difference.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, in that, fourth verse, it says, "Thou hast maintained my right and my cause." You know, that is a great blessing that God's people have, is that He actually maintains their lot and their cause. And in the 14th chapter, after all of this was done that you were referring to with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh finally let him go, God turned his heart again, and He says, He says in the fourth verse, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored. I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. And so we know what happened. You know, his chariot was drowned in the Red Sea, and you know, and even the wheels came off his chariots and so on. So God, go ahead.
Would you see similar thing? What's going on with the truckers going away? Up in Canada?
Yeah, I see it. Like you said, it's happening in every continent, in every country. Look at Ukraine and in Russia, what's going on there, and then what's happening in the United States, and all the crazy decisions that have been made. And you say, you know, not only does the Lord have a sense of humor, but the Lord has a purpose in everything that's going on.
Yeah, and do we know what it is.
Right.
He has a purpose. He will win in the end. Period.
How?
Is it in God's word? Yes. But I notice that there are certain aspects of scripture that, you know what, I'm beginning to see, Lord, it's like, there's something in these scriptures I'm not clear of right now, but I know your purpose is here. Like that, then this is why I've often said, this is where I rarely, you know, in the last few weeks, we rarely talk about politics. We rarely, it's good to know history and everything. Yeah, I pay attention to a lot, but I rarely talk about it because I sit here. Really? I mean, I just got to make sure my life's in Jesus Christ's hand. It's good to know this stuff, but do I have to sit here and be able to consume by it? No.
Well, I totally agree. In the last few weeks, have kind of done a self-evaluation and kind of changed the modus operandi of, and obviously I believe that the good Lord is the one that has changed my heart to where my priorities have changed, not to constantly dwell on everything that's going on in our culture and all the evils of society and everything, but the reality of it is, you know, like you said, we don't, who are we to know the mind of God? You know, I mean, isn't that a little bit presumptuous to think that we can know everything that is in His plan and purpose? But one thing we do know that we can be assured of, we can see this in, I'm looking at Psalm 102, verse 12, he says, "But thou, O Lord," I always like to get the preceding verse. "My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever. and thy remembrance is unto all generations. So, what, you know, we have to, I think sometimes we have to remind ourselves that, you know, who are we to, I don't know how to say it. You know what I'm saying, though. Who are we to think that we have God figured out? I mean, that's the ultimate pride, you know, so.
Yeah. And I'm beginning to understand is that God says, fear no man. I'm really beginning to understand with me is that I don't really fear any man. It doesn't mean I never underestimate anybody.
Right.
And that's a much more healthier position to be in.
Right.
Is there healthy fear? Yeah. But I don't fear a man. You respect their work? Yeah. I'm never underestimate anybody. Because I go that way, like, I mean, they do some great, fantastic, they do some wrong, it still doesn't surprise me.
Right. Yeah, because they're mere men and they're living in a fallen world and they're born and conceived in sin, and so what else would we expect, you know?
And I'm just as guilty as the next person.
Right, right.
Period. So, like, am I any better? No. The only thing is, Jesus Christ revealed himself to me.
Right, that's right. That's it.
I'm just as simple as the next person. So who am I to turn around and determine what's right for the person? The only difference is, God had revealed himself to me, and that's it.
Yeah,
God
hasn't
revealed himself to hear her yet. Hey, that's God's God. It's Jesus Christ on God.
And I think, you know, we can see that exemplified in the psalmist David, you know. I mean, in the 32nd chapter, he says, this is the psalmist David talking now. He says, I acknowledge my sin of thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression, Lord, and thou forsakest, thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. But then he says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. You know, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. So, it's like you were saying, there is a difference between the child of grace and those who have not been recipients of God's grace, and that is that God has shown them mercy.
Yeah.
That's the only difference. It's not, like you said, we have nothing to boast in of ourselves. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
No, nothing at all. And that is the thing I try to do all the time, is not be presumptuous. I feel at this at times, consistently, I do the best of my ability not to be presumptuous or anything and pretend to say, oh, look at me. You're basically being a stripper and everything. Ooh, look at me, man. Ooh. That sort of stuff. God doesn't call us to do that.
Yeah, well, he says, you know, in the ninth verse there of the chapter we're going through here, Psalm 9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Well, I can say, you know, firsthand, that has been my experience, because I know Adiel and I both have gone through some major challenges in our lives. Everybody goes through them, but sometimes some people seem to go through a little bit more than others.
I know, and that's the problem. I mean, I do admit it's sometimes it is self-inflicted. So I do admit that. Sometimes it is self-inflicted, so I hold myself 100% accountable to that. I should have thought about it a bit more and was warned about it. You know what? I take accountability for that. And other times where I could literally do nothing, it's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, the 91st Psalm is probably, I had to memorize the 91st Psalm when I was in third grade, and it's a phenomenal psalm because it's a psalm of protection. And I had one fellow I know told me that 91st Psalm had been his mainstay throughout his life because he reads it almost every day, and I would say it's a good psalm to read every day. I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but in the second verse it says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust, you know. And verse 11, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And one of the most beautiful verses in that psalm is Psalm 14. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He hath known my name. So, you know, we do have wonderful promises throughout the Bible about God's protective hand and the fact that He will cause us to persevere in our faith. And that gives me a lot of hope, because in my flesh, I can do absolutely nothing, you know. And but I realize that if I have been a child of His grace, I take great refuge in that hope that I am one of His. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I can honestly say right now, if Jesus Christ hadn't come and lived early 20s and gotten a key and gotten certain key helps in my life, this is up until this point. If God hadn't come in my life in my early 20s, early to mid 20s, and helped me in the sort of the health and mental health side of things in the last, say, 10 or 15 years, I would have been, I would have been a catastrophic mess at this point in my life. I shouldn't say a catastrophic mess, but I guarantee I'll be a lot worse than I am now. A lot worse.
Yeah, I can, it was a little later for me. God got to you a little bit earlier than He got to me. It was about 30, yeah. It was about 37, but you know, I agree. I would have been, and you know, I hate to think of where I would be today. In Psalm 107, He says, They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. This morning in the devotion, was the whole theme, was that you cannot remain in a downhearted state while you're praising God. It's an impossibility, you know. And that's what He says there in the 15th verse of that chapter, 107. He says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. That's basically what you were doing there, is you were giving God the glory of revealing Himself to you yourself in your early 20s, you know.
Well, at the time I had no clue how profound the decision would be.
Right.
And that was the thing. I fully admit, I was completely ignorant of how profound that decision would be. It was very simple, but I had no clue how profound that decision would be. And that was the thing in my particular case. So with this, and this is why I really have no love for it. This is one of the reasons why I am largely critical of organized religion and churches. So how Jesus Christ can meet me with no church program or anything, no seminar or nothing, right then and there.
Well, you know, it's got to be revealed by God. I mean, that's what the whole thing about John 3 is about, is that the Spirit of God coming into a person's, you know, in the 43rd verse there, that Psalm 107, it says, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. In other words, we know that God has been merciful to us, because not only the change in direction in our lives, but the fact that we're even right here this afternoon reading His Word and are interested in it. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that gives some evidence that we must be one of His, you know? So,
yeah. Oh, I know. And there are times where, even last night, I just is unscrupulous and simple. And as I mean, there are days where it's like, Lord, I'm just glad that you're the only reason I wake up in the morning.
Right. That's right.
Period.
So I
judge nobody. I besides the obvious things that people do wrong, not to forget that.
Right.
Besides those obvious things and everything, not. I'm very careful not to point the finger so quickly at another person.
Well, that's a good trait to have.
Yeah,
I've not always probably been as careful in that regard as I should.
Okay, me too. I still got to work on it, but I'm not as quick to point the finger because number one, I don't know what the situation's like.
That's
I
right.
I just don't know, and I don't know. So just I'd rather err on the side of caution just to find out. That's it.
Right.
Like, I don't know. So, and this is why I've, it's taken me a lot to become more humble these days, and I admit, I have an incredibly stubborn nature sometimes. Incredibly stubborn nature.
Well, we all do. You know.
Yeah, some more than others.
Yeah.
Everybody, I do agree with you on that fact. Everybody has a stubborn nature. But some individuals are just a bit more high, higher in that scale than others. That's all I'm getting at.
Right.
That's all I'm getting at. I tend to fit in that scale somewhere and be just more on that side than anything else.
Right.
It's just a temperament that I have. So I have to sort of balance that. For me, I have to sort of balance that and say, okay, there's nothing wrong with it, but just sort of pop just under Jesus Christ's name and everything, and it's like just polish it a bit more, just get more, even more loving and everything. But don't hide that fact at the same time. But just gotta be more positive and just be more put towards God's direction as towards just something bad. That's all I'm getting at.
Right. Yeah, I think that David is a good example. I mean, here he is. He practiced premeditated murder. He was an adulterer, but yet we're told that he was a man after God's own heart. So that shows that there was a change in his heart. And he in the 51st Psalm he cries out, you know, to God for forgiveness, but. And here in the 20th Psalm, he says that I'm reading in the 5th verse, we will rejoice in thy salvation, in the name of our God we will set up banners, and the Lord fulfills all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed, he will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright.
What verse was that again?
Psalm chapter 20.
Oh, okay.
And I was reading through the last from verse 5 down to the end of the chapter, 5 through 9. But that is a good verse to go along with verse 14 in our Psalm 9, where he says that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit. So there's a big difference there from the God's people and those who are going about to establish their own kingdoms and so on. So.
Yep. Yep, I mean, and the rest of the chapter is of Psalm 10 is pretty well straightforward.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, he says in the 12th verse, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God, you know.
It's pretty well straightforward. The very nations are going to be crumpled down, and and the poor and needy are going to be protected. He makes the difference is he doesn't tell who they are, but God knows, versus those who come against him, versus those who clearly did something wrong went against him.
Yeah, Job is a good example of that. Job, in the 8th chapter, this is Bildad the Shuhite, and he's talking about the things we're talking about here, and he says, Job 18:13 verse, so are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. Okay. And, you know, we can see certain people in our culture. Adio and I were talking before the broadcast, you know, it's just amazing how, you know, Adiola brought the point that this new Supreme Court justice was appointed and she can't even define what a woman is. How's she going to properly judge if she doesn't know what a woman is?
Yeah, and I'm sitting there just like, wow, I said, good luck. I mean, I so we still have to confirm she's actually been confirmed. You have to double check to be confirmed. If she is, I'm like, you know what? It's in God's hands. That's all I'm going to say.
That's right. That's right. Well, I agree with you. Well, this the ending verse there, verse 20, put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. That's what we're talking about here. Is that, you know, there are people out there. We know who they are. We don't have to mention any names, but they are very cocky, very arrogant. They think they have the world by the tail. They think they can do anything. They think that all success comes from their own decisions and everything. And then all it does, it takes one little poof from God and they're brought down to nothing. So I think
it's like a window. You know, you never know that this, what your example is, that people make all these balloons up, all mess and guns, all one person needs is one little pin and just
That's right.
It's funny how it's funny, but what's more powerful, the balloon or the pin?
That's right. You know, it's I often recall, I've shared this before on sermon audio. When I was, I think I was about fifth or sixth grade in school, and I was showing off in front of the other kids, and I said, and it rained all night long, and there was a big puddle of water. And I said, watch this. And I took out running. My goal was to jump over that puddle, but the problem is I didn't make it. And I landed right in the middle. You talk about a humbling experience, I'll tell you. Here I am, just one big muddy mess, you know, and I'm having to, and all day long I had to wear those muddy clothes as proof of my cockiness.
Yeah, that's true. There was one day, and until this day, I don't know how we made these two shots. This is before track and field practice. This is before track and field practice. So one day I don't know what possessed me to do this. It's just that one day I said, I bet you I can shoot a three pointer without even I can go into the gym, shoot a three pointer on the first try without warming up. For whatever reason I just said that. Don't ask me why I said this. Okay, fine, let's go. Okay, and so what happened? I walked in, changed, I walked out, said, give me the ball like this. Right at the top of the three-point line, sunk it on the first time.
Wow.
Sunk it. Got to do it again. I knew I was right beside a guy. Sunk it again. Everybody's like, oh, my goodness, man. There are a couple of traps. You're like, oh. And the guy who did it, face turned beet red. No, funny thing is, the next day, I tried to do it again. I didn't see it on the next day. I tried it again. couldn't make it. I didn't make a single shot. The next day. To this day, I'm never able to pull it off.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
Never. I said, hey, you know, sometimes quit where you're at. Don't do. Quit where you're at.
Right.
There's one of these few times where, you know what, you know what? Be quiet. You got your point across. Don't tell. It was just one of these days where I just said, I just knew it was going to sink it. Just without even warming up.
Right.
That never happened again.
Well, you know, every time I read the Psalms, and, you know, we'll bring this to a conclusion, and I'll turn the recorder off here in a second, but really, the Psalms are a great reminder to us that, you know, we're but men, and God is God, and there's a scripture that says, let God be true and every man a liar, you know, and so I'm going to go ahead and conclude this, and I'll look forward to next Friday, we'll go into the 10th chapter.
Okay.